I'm Molly, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operation and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communication Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Policy and Governance Committee meets on the third Tuesday of March, June, September, and December at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if the meeting is being held.
Friday, March 14th at 8 p.m., KBOO makes everything metal. The Metal March returns again in 2025. Featuring 10 hours of live bands and DJ sets from your favorite KBOO metal hosts. March 4th and support metal on KBOO. Text KBOO to 44321 or go to kboo.fm/give to donate and tune in to the Metal March Friday, March 14th at 8 p.m. through Saturday, March 15th at 6 a.m. Metal takes over the airwaves for the Metal March Metal Marathon. Only on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Support for The Dirtbag comes from KBOO listeners and from One Green World, a family-owned nursery and garden center located in southeast Portland, providing fruiting trees and shrubs, berries, vines, unique citrus, nut trees, vegetables, and much more to people all over the United States. Information at www.onegreenworld.com.
Well, here we are at the second Wednesday of the month at 11 o'clock. It's time for The Dirtbag, a garden variety show. This is Glenn Andreessen, here beside you now until 12 noon. And here beside me is my good bud and co-pilot, Jim Gilbert. Fresh in off the street, literally.
Right. Really, man. I haven't walked so fast for so long in a long time. But happy spring, Glenn.
Yeah, has a little touch of winter today, but officially it still is. So
temperature still like 50 degrees, so and plants are blooming.
46 when I left.
Was it 46?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I walk through flower petals on the way and stuff, so
yeah. I mean, it's meteorological spring.
Yeah.
Okay, well, say what you will about us amateurs here at KBOO, but I have to hand it to our professional staff here at KBOO. Our regular board op is not here, but our news director Althea is sitting in today, and is doing a marvelous job. So appreciate that. As usual, we have a full show, but we always welcome your calls, gardening or otherwise. No, we better stick to gardening. We don't want to get off track.
There's a lot
only
of
we're allowed to go off track.
Yeah, a lot of things to talk about these days, but yeah, let's stick with gardening.
503-231-8187. That's the number to call if you have a gardening question or an answer to the garden stumper, which will happen at half past the hour. Now, if you remember correctly, a month ago, no one called in with the garden stumper. Mm-hmm. So I could answer. I'm going to repeat that now and give you until half past the hour to call in. And you'll happen to remember that our last show was exactly 4 weeks ago on February 12th, who is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And the garden stumper question was, who else was born on that exact day that changed the course of human history?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah. And where's Abraham when we need him?
Whew. Yeah. Where's just about everybody before when we need him? Okay. So 503-231-8187. And if you get the answer to that garden stumper or the new one, which Jim will be giving us, we'll win the garden tool, hand tool sharpening at Coley Farm Store in Northeast Portland, 42nd and Alberta Street.
And I, you know, I have to say, having done a bunch of pruning recently, a sharp pruning tool is very nice. It makes a big difference.
I think we say this every time, but it's true that a sharp implement is safer than a dull one.
Yeah.
For one, you should be paying more attention.
That's right.
And for two, it's better to sew on your finger with a clean cut.
All right. I mean, okay. You know, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, has that been your most used tool in the last month? The garden pruners?
That and the pruning saw, the silky pruning saw.
Oh, yeah.
It's competing with it. I mean, the pruning projects that I've been doing, which I'll describe a little bit later, but if you want, I'll talk about olive pruning and others.
Yes, yes, indeed. I think what I've been using, at least most recently, was my post-hole digger. I was putting in a new bed or place for peas, pole peas, and so I needed to dig some holes for some metal posts. I've gone to metal posts rather than wood. They last longer.
They do. Yes.
Yep. So, dig once, pound once. And I didn't put cement around the base this time, but I have many times where I want them really permanent. And that's easy peasy, even the way I do it, which is dig the hole, you know, what, as dig as you deep as you want, pour in about a third, fill in about a third of the hole with dry cement, and then with your watering can, just water it, mix it up a little bit in the hole, then another third, more water, mix it up, and then fill it with the third, more water, mix it up, and let it, then you're good.
Amazing. Huh.
Yeah, you don't need to pre-mix.
Well, so going back to the metal fence posts, I mean, how we've installed those is with a post driver.
I don't have one of those.
Oh.
Just a hand post, which are pretty good,
Just pound on it, and it goes down in, and it stays.
Yeah, I use a sledge. And where I am at in Northeast Portland, which is where there's river cobble from the Missoula floods, I can get down about 18 inches.
And then that's it, huh?
Well, then I work harder at getting the river cobble out. Sometimes they're so big I can't get them out.
Yeah, wow. So we don't. I think the river cobble didn't extend as far south as we are.
Well, some parts it did because it did flood all the Willamette Valley, and you might be familiar with what's called the Errata Rock. On Highway 18. Out there, just a huge...
big rock.
Yeah, that was from the Missoula floods. But so it may not have come as far east.
There must have been a lot of... You know, we were talking about this the other day because the valley is we were driving down the Columbia River up toward Astoria, and how low that is, right on the river level, and wants to be swamp, basically, you know, wetlands. Mm-hmm. But the valley, the Willamette Valley, is high. And you know, my guess is that there was a lot of sediment that came into the Willamette Valley and made it this wonderful place to farm.
Yes.
Because the rock, you know, is down pretty far down if there is rock down there.
Well, it's the same in Northeast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, that...
Because we just dug a 160-foot well and there was no rock.
Oh, don't rub it in.
Okay,
so let's see. Listener questions. Please don't hesitate to call in 503-231-8187. Okay, we got our first call. John's on the line. Maybe he's got an answer or a question. What you got, John?
Hi, I do have a question.
Okay.
I recently took down a tree, and Urban Forest wants a tree to replace it. And I'm thinking of a fruit tree as opposed to the conifer that came out. But the requirement is an inch and a half caliper.
Yeah.
And I'm having a real hard time finding, say, an apple that's that size at any of our local... I live here in Portland.
Uh-huh.
Any of our local nurseries. If there's any.
Did the tree come out from a parking strip? Or your property?
No, it's on the property, I think, as far as I know, as far as the permit indicated, or went through the permit process, I need to replace that tree.
And that's not only for fruit trees, but just in general, that's a hard requirement to fill. Because I mean, there's a lot of other trees that would be suitable for that location or a location, but the fact that they require this large caliper tree, it just precludes so many other ones, and you end up kind of with cookie cutter trees.
You might call around. I mean, I don't know how often they do the inspection on the caliper, but there are nurseries.
Jim.
because putting in the proper tree is pretty important, and the caliper, that's a big tree, and you could find a nurseries that have trees that have been left over from the previous year in a pot, in a large pot that could be an inch maybe or even more than a little over an inch. I mean, an inch and a half is awfully big, but we occasionally dig trees up at our nursery, but right now we don't have anything like that. But when I hear you say, you want to put a fruit tree, and I get very excited. I mean, like a persimmon. Of course, right now I'm really bullish on persimmons, but apples, of course, pears. There's so many good fruit trees we can grow here that I'm excited for you. And I kind of think you maybe could try a little,
Now, another thought that just occurred to me is you said it was an evergreen, a conifer that came out.
Yeah.
Is that going to be an issue, Jim? Putting it right back into the same.
Do you have to put it in the exact same location?
No. In fact, that's not part of it. It can be placed anywhere in the property.
Oh, good.
Suitable place for I was thinking apple, but I'm pretty open to.
Could you plant?
I suppose there are some fruit trees that might grow a little thicker at the base without being as old or large at the top, say.
Well, I wonder if you might be able to cut a deal with them, or at least dicker with them. Say, could I plant two trees that have 3/4-inch diameters?
Great idea.
If their idea is that they want to get carbon sequestration going right away. With a larger tree.
Well, what the funny thing my partner sometimes says is take action and then explain later, ask forgiveness later. So if you planted two trees like Glenn suggested and say, it was just not possible to find a tree of this size. Yeah. And I'd go to bat for you. I'd come and talk to him. So, they really,
I have that in writing? Yeah. I don't know. Reading the rules on the permit, there's some pretty stiff penalties for.
Yeah,
really.
I would ask him. I mean, if you have the space for it, and I don't think there's any requirement that says the tree has to live.
There is.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I mean,
I'm going to get a fruit tree back there somehow. But how about a fig? Maybe I don't know.
Figs grow pretty fast. They do grow fast. You might have a better.
Desert King is a real is the most vigorous one, and if you get a Desert King, it could be an inch and a half caliper within a very short time. How soon do you have to plant the tree? Like this year?
Within 6 months here.
Okay. Well, you know, I suggest calling around a little bit to some of the local nurseries and see what they've got. One Green World would be an option, you know, and others.
I've already been there.
Oh, I see. Nobody. Huh?
No go. Mm-hmm. So
I'd call the forestry department and the urban forestry department and just say, I can't find what I want in that diameter. Can I plant two to equal that?
Okay. Yeah.
Make them justify why it needs to be 1.5 inches.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice that they require trees to be planted, but it is expensive and very confining a variety to have that larger one to put in. So I think we should help you with this.
So keep us informed on what happens.
Yeah. I got your number.
You can use it.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
Good luck.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, well, why don't we go ahead and take our first musical break here, and we'll then we'll come back with our plant of the month, which is all about tomatoes.
Time
to start those, and I doubt they're showing up in stores yet, but they shouldn't be. But close. Anyway, this is Natural? Well, yes, National Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. It's just Women's History Month, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so today I'm going to play some of my favorite blues artists. Mm-hmm. The first woman is the first blues woman. Her song is called Blues Woman for Life. Her name is Cookie McGee. Cookie McGee, Blues Woman for Life.
Yay.
Okay, we have an answer for last week's, or we have a guess for last month's Garden Stumper. Okay, who do we got here?
This is Everett.
Okay, you have an answer?
Well, I have a guess.
Okay, a guess.
Rudolph Jacob Camerarius.
Well, I'll have to plead ignorance here.
Who is he?
Yeah.
I guess I should talk really confident, right? Maybe try to talk you into this. He is... he was a German botanist and physician, as we all know.
Well, some of us know.
Born on, well, I don't, but a editor at Wikipedia knew it.
Oh, okay.
Born February 12th, 1665.
Well, okay, I didn't make myself clear because I meant the exact date, 1809.
February 12th. I should have done a different search, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't find anybody whose name I recognized online, so I...
Well,
So I looked for, you know, gardening-type stuff, and here is a botanist. He's chiefly known for his investigations on the reproductive organs of plants.
Interesting. Uh-huh. Well, good for him. That's
well, it's somewhat related here in this. But that's not it.
Okay.
I'm sure Wiki will reveal all.
I figured it would be even harder to figure out what tool I should get sharpened. So I wasn't sure about it.
You don't need to worry about that yet.
You have them all laid out on the table, I'm sure.
He's running his finger through all of them. But
which one is the...
Not enough blood. Okay. But right, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Before we get to the our plant of the month, I did want to mention here, because I always forget otherwise, is what I'm trying to understand this month. And this came to me a couple of months ago. I've just been dying to mention it here. And it's, when was the last time a king or queen of England, or the Pope for that matter, came up with a new name?
A name for?
Themselves.
Oh.
Why do they... What's the reason for recycling names? Or, well, you know, King Charles, they changed their names.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know if that, like, you know, my generation, you know, really, before me, my grandparents, and it seemed like everybody's name had one of the other family names in there, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's probably more on the Pope, but. You know, I'm not Catholic, so I don't, you know, this is what I'm trying to understand is all.
Sure.
It's not that I'm critiquing it.
Got it.
Okay, tomatoes. You grow tomatoes, don't you? Or Lorraine does.
Lorraine
eat them, though.
I eat them with great relish.
Well, I thought I would just point out some of the differences that you're going to be up against. One, maybe the main one to consider is determinate versus indeterminate. Determinate tomatoes only grow a certain height. They're determined, predetermined, if you will. Mm-hmm. And they tend to produce all their fruit at once with a very short time period. So this would be good if you wanted to process a lot of fruit. I'm assuming that most commercial growers have determinate fruit because they want to harvest it all in one and be dead, done. But there's also indeterminate, which means they kind of keep growing and they get very quite tall, and in fact will just keep producing until frost. Both of them have these benefits. There's also, we might talk about heirloom or hybrids. And we're not going to even deal with GMOs here, genetically modified. That's not what we're talking about. A hybrid is just simply a cross between two parents, manually done or even naturally done. If you get a volunteer in your garden, a volunteer meaning just any plant that comes up from maybe in the compost pile, whatever, and it started out as a hybrid, then it's not likely that it will produce the same fruit that was on either one of the parents. It might be a fine one, but most of the time it's not as good as the hybrid parent, or F1, as we say. Call them on the label. And the heirloom are those that you could save the seed even from those, and they'll be true to the parent, and they go back, you know, centuries, or maybe they're relatively newer finds. But the problem with the bigger ones of the heirlooms, and now we can talk about cherry tomatoes versus beefsteak, the larger ones, the beefsteaks just take longer to mature. And given our summers, and who knows, you know, with climate change and all, this may change, but you may not get the product that you want. But so I always recommend growing some cherry tomatoes because you'll always get those.
When you mentioned heirloom as being producing the same fruit, what if you'd planted heirloom and also some other varieties around it and they cross pollinate? Then heirloom seeds would they still be true to type?
No. I mean, yes, they would. That's the benefit of an heirloom.
Wonder how that works.
Well, it may not show up until the second generation. I don't remember why now.
Okay.
You know, Mr. CRS here.
Yeah, maybe I'll ask Lorraine about that when we get into.
Yeah, I can't remember, but it's the same with a lot of things that you can save the seed.
Right.
And you don't need to isolate them.
Right.
Like peppers is another one. But yeah. Not squash or cucumbers.
And it doesn't work. And that doesn't work with tree fruit because if you
correct.
Cross, you know, an apple pollinated by another apple variety, the seeds aren't going to produce either one.
Right.
Of those varieties.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. And then okay, those are the differences that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
The indeterminate ones will almost always need staking or trellising or caging of some sort. Otherwise, they fall over and it's no good. I mean, slugs take after them and whatnot. So
it would seem like the indeterminate ones might if you weren't going to process tomatoes, then an indeterminate one might be better for the homeowner.
Yes,
you have a harvest all summer.
Right, and if you have several plants going, then you'll certainly have enough that you can can or puree or mm-hmm. make salsa.
Right.
So.
What do you have any special varieties you want to?
Boy, the one that I have been looking for forever was one that was, I think, bred at OSU called Early Cascade. Mm-hmm. And finally this year, I found information that says that it's no longer being produced. There are some Early Cascade cherry tomatoes, and I did order a packet of those seeds just to see if it gives the flavor. But the Early Cascade was early. It was very good tasting and medium-sized to medium to little large and just kind of almost blemish-free. That's one thing about heirloom brandy wine, very popular and well-known variety. It has a tendency to crack or grow with cracks in it. Mm-hmm. All righty. So let's see. You were in Italy last month, and you went there to learn about what?
Well, I went there to learn about olives.
Olives, or more about olives.
Continuing the learning process.
Yes.
That we've started a long time ago. We first imported olive varieties from the Nikita Botanic Garden in Crimea. Probably in 2000, something like, you know, over 20 years ago, and they hadn't gotten a lot of care. I mean, it's hard. We have a lot of things we pay attention to, and olives, you know, some other things, I guess, were a higher priority level. So we planted some out, and they have survived for years outdoors in some pretty cold weather, which is very encouraging to us. So this year, I mean, our trip to Italy this time was to investigate more in the colder regions of Italy how they grow olives.
Uh-huh.
So that was fascinating to us. And I hate to say this, but the reason that my pruners are being well used is because the olives that we had planted out were kind of growing as bushes. And the olive trees we saw in these collections in Italy looked like peach trees. There's a big difference between a bush and a peach tree.
Yeah.
So I've been working on removing branches that are way down toward the bottom and trying to train a more of a tree form for these olives.
Why did you choose the bush style in the beginning?
Well, we didn't really choose it. We planted the plants and then just did not prune them.
Oh, I see.
To the proper form. So it wasn't, we just weren't thinking about it, and we had other things to think about. So the olives kind of got neglected. So now they're getting paid attention to. And I, one of the reasons, of course, is that there's some interest in Oregon in growing olives, and we want to help that. And another very interesting part of it is the region of, we visited the Tuscany region of Italy around Florence, and that area, the primary focus is producing olive oil, and that's kind of, to me, rather silly in Oregon, honestly. But I mean, for one thing, for a homeowner, how many, you're going to plant a couple of olive trees to make oil? Well, maybe you'll get a cup. I mean, it's kind of silly to me. And then there's really good olive oil available. It's a commodity, and there's excellent olive oil in, being imported. In fact, I brought home 9 liters in my suitcase.
Can you do that?
Yeah, and a whole bunch of pasta. The suitcase was right on the edge of being too heavy to get on the plane, but it made it.
Concerning when will you start recommending how to prune, or differently, or what do you recommend now?
I prune to a. To have a not a bush. I mean,
in the last 19 3/4 years, what did you recommend?
Okay, so it was interesting. I had a piece of plastic to put down on the ground because it was kind of wet, and I had to get down at the base of the plant, and then I had to make an opening so I could see what was going on underneath.
That's bushy.
Yeah, and then once I got into it, then I noticed, like, in some cases there were branches that were at ground level, at horizontal ground level branches. And that's where the pruning saw came into.
Were they bigger than an inch and a half?
No.
But they
were big enough.
It's not going to help Dave.
No. But they were big enough. And then there were other branches that were similar to that, maybe not horizontal, but definitely not ones that you'd want to have at the base of a plant if you want a tree. So now
you're going to change your recommendations, maybe.
Well, we never really made recommendations about pruning olives.
Oh, I see.
That I recall.
Here it is.
So we're learning, and we'll continue to share the results of this, because now the plants will have a lot more vigor in the upper part. Mm-hmm. And that should make some interesting growth.
And you may not need to have to kneel down.
And, a smaller, it's not a bad idea to not have a tall tree of an olive, especially if you're going to pick it by hand, but at least get it, have a trunk a couple of feet above the ground level before it branches out, is my thought at this point.
All righty. Well, that was a good trip then. You learned something kind of major.
Yes.
Change.
Yeah.
Changing.
And we met a couple of researchers that we were in touch with. We've actually found a book on propagation of olives that we didn't know about. We were able to find a copy in English in America for way too much money, but it's a pretty special book. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Well, you know what time it is, Jim?
I'm going to guess it's 11. No, it's
half past the hour almost.
Yes. In fact, past half past the hour.
Yeah. It's time for the Garden Stumper.
Yep.
Okay. Well, first of all, we do have, for the Garden Stumper that somebody's called in? The previous Garden Stumper. Okay, well, let's take this answer then, and then we'll get to the new one, because we are prepared to offer two tool sharpenings this month.
That's great.
We'll give Ted something to do. Yeah. Okay, who do we have? Dave, did you say? Okay, Dave, you're on.
Hey guys, great show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you might be able to play this song at the end of the show. An REM song, Man on the Moon, mentions this person who was born on the same day as Abraham Lincoln, Charles Darwin.
That's it.
Oh.
That's it. Oh. Well done. Good job, Dave. I didn't know that there was a song that mentioned that.
briefly mentions Charles Darwin.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Well, if you want to stay on the line here, and we'll have Althea take your name and number, and we'll pass that along to Coley Farm Store, and I'll text you the a certificate. So thank you very much if you're interested.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Great.
It would be really nice to know, you know, Charles Darwin. I mean, I know the name, and I, you know, of course, his name shows up in the various things. It would be really interesting to know a little bit more about him. I mean, and just about who he was, and, you know.
Yeah, well, I've read books.
Have you?
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And wouldn't you say he changed the world? Still changing it.
Yeah.
Because they're still debating whether we're going to teach creationism or evolution in
school. Well, that's interesting that you read about. So one of the things I've done recently, and I just will quickly share this with you, because of my poor eyesight, it's hard for me to read a standard book anymore.
Yeah.
So I started listening to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just started doing it. And so the first book I listened to was Astoria.
Oh, yeah,
which is
that's
a
great.
Fascinating
great.
Story. And while I was when we had a great crop of almonds this year. So while I was listening to Astoria, I was cracking almonds, and it took, you know, it takes a while to collect a lot of almonds that way, and then we kind of modified a recipe for tamari almonds, and they are so good, Glenn. I should have brought some. Next month, I'll bring you some. I mean, they're just outrageously good. And anyway,
the Astoria, is that Peter Stark?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he tells the story of the two. Expeditions.
John Jacob Astor wanted to establish a fur trading network on the empire, I should say, on the West Coast. And it's a really fascinating story. But, you know, some sadness, of course, because a lot of tragedies happened as part of that as well.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, good. We got that one.
Yep.
Charles Darwin.
I was just thinking about maybe there's a book of his about him that's an audio book that I could listen to.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll have to look find one.
Okay, well, we have a new garden stumper.
Yes. Well, so we're getting into fruit season, and plants are blooming, and we're starting to almost see the apricots or the ones we're experimenting with are starting to bloom, and the peaches are starting to bloom, and my mouth is starting to water, and pretty soon, you know, the honeyberries are blooming, and we'll have currants to eat, and all that kind of thing. And virtually every plant that we grow for fruit, you can take the fruit off the plant and eat it. Or in the case of like a European pear, you might pick it when it's firm and let it ripen on the floor or your kitchen counter or something. There is one very, very popular fruit that you cannot do that. You cannot pick the fruit off the plant and you cannot let it sit around because it's not edible at that point. It has to be processed.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that fruit? And it's not a tropical fruit. That's one clue to it.
Okay. So if you know the answer to that, or if you want to take a guess, 503-231-8187. Okay. Well, speaking of pruning or prunus.
Prunus.
This is March.
Pruning prunus.
Yes. And this includes cherries, peaches, almonds, nectarines, plums,
apricots.
Yeah,
if you live east of the mountains,
right. And Jim has been telling us for months now that he waits until this month, March, to prune those because of the possibility of disease.
Yes.
Getting into the cuts, the fresh cuts.
That's right. And do not leave your house right now to go start pruning. Because this is not the weather to do it in.
Okay.
You don't want to do it when it's raining. When you have as soon as this rainy period stops, that would be the time, I would guess. I mean, when you have a forecast of like 3 days of nice weather, relatively warm, that's good pruning weather for prunus.
What would you say, though, the minimum is? 6 hours or 2 days? Or
If you had a forecast of rain like we had yesterday for today, I probably wouldn't prune.
Okay,
I would wait. I'd wait till we had a forecast of like 3 days of good weather.
Yeah, that's not going to happen for a while.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
I mean, we did have it.
Yes, right.
Know, and we that would have been a good time to prune it very early in March, or even
we should have gone for the first Wednesday of the month for our show.
I know, but it's not too late. It's okay.
Yeah,
I mean, you may find some buds that are starting to open and stuff on what you're pruning, but that's fit. That's the way it works. I mean, it's not gonna the ones that you leave will be the ones that'll bear fruit, and. It's good for the plant to prune it.
Now, my rule of thumb for pruning peaches, because that's really the only thing that I do have plums too, is that we want to, plums are a little different than peaches, because peaches they only produce on the wood that's grown. Next year's crop will come on this year's growth.
Right.
Is that the same with plums? I don't think it is. They grow some on each.
That's a good question, and I, you know, honestly, I don't know.
Okay.
How that works with plums.
But my rule of thumb for peaches then is that we can take off 2/3 of new growth,
mm-hmm.
because and there's a lot usually there, that still leaves you plenty because we want to spur new growth for next year to stimulate new growth for next year. So you would agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think you could. I mean, you're pretty safe doing that kind of pruning on plums too. I mean, you're not going to hurt the plant by doing that. It's going to. I mean, some of these things I wish I've observed them more carefully.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. You know that kind of pruning. You're talking about cut back the new growth, leave buds that are basal buds uh-huh. for fruit production and produce new growth for next year's.
Right.
Production.
And just by way of comparison, I recommend cutting off, or it's recommended, and I do too, about 90% of new grape growth. Mm. New meaning last year's growth. And I don't know what you might say for kiwis, but it's more than half.
Yeah, we've talked about kiwis a little bit.
Yeah.
They prune a lot, but it's getting kind of late for kiwi pruning.
Right. Well, I'm just describing what we're pruning.
Yeah, and it's interesting with kiwi, the fruit that the shoots that come off last year's growth are what has the flowers and the fruit.
Right.
It doesn't the flowers don't show up on that stem. They come on the stem that grows off of it. And as I think I said in a previous show, if you have a typical kiwi plant that's grown 8-foot shoots on it, which they will do, or even longer, you cut that 2/3 of that off,
and then
you'll have good vigorous growth and nice big fruit and lots of it.
I might say in apples, depending on what you want, and pears. Pears are different from what I learned. Apples, you could probably take off 100% of the new growth and still have, and that's what I do when I summer prune, is I'm taking off all the new growth because the tree is the size that I want it. And they have, we'll call them permanent spurs, but long-lived anyway, you know, 20 years of spurs. They're not good forever, of course, and will produce fruit there.
And one thing, I'm not an expert with this kind of pruning, but I know that there are apple varieties that are not spur types.
Yes.
And you probably have to be a little more judicious in removing all that.
There's some that are tip bearers.
Yes, and those you wouldn't want to remove all
no.
of them.
No, and what I've determined is that there are some pears that are that way too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was pruning, why am I not getting any fruit here? Well, I'm pruning off the fruiting wood every year because I was...
And one of the basic things I think about pruning when you first start doing it, you can't hurt the tree by just, you know, you have crossing branches, you have branches that are growing into the tree the wrong direction,
mm-hmm.
One weak wood that's old and not doing anything, you know, those sort of things, just making the plant a little more open, giving it some more air movement, you know, that's always good for plant health, you know, my opinion.
Okay, well, we better get to a musical break so we can take a breath here.
Yeah, you know, and the phone is not ringing off.
There is a phone. We do have a call. We do have an answer. So we'll take that before we do our musical break. Sorry about that. Alan, good morning, Alan. You have an answer for us?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, you're on.
Yep. Okay, fruit has got to be prepared.
Yep.
That would be the quince?
Well, that's a really good answer, but it's not the one that I was looking for.
Yeah.
But that's a really good one.
It is, although there are some quince now that I think that are being bred, so you can just kind of eat them like an apple. That's a good guess. I don't know.
I think we should give it.
We're going to have to give it to you.
I think we'll give you that one because I didn't think about it. I mean, I thought about this for quite a while. There's, and I won't tell you what this other one is because maybe we could have another answer for the one that I had in mind. But you're absolutely correct. Quince typically cannot, you know, it's not good for eating right off the tree or even after it sits.
So if you'd like a tool sharpening, then hang on the line here and Elfiel will get your contact information. So good job.
Yeah.
We've been schooled.
Yeah. I love it.
Okay.
And we still have one waiting. Another garden stumper.
Right.
And I'll give a clue to that one if I can. It was a subject of a recent show.
Okay.
How recent.
That's right. Okay. Althea's still on the phone there, but okay. So we can go to our second musical break here now. This is Fiona Boys. I think, now I can't remember, is she from Australia? Maybe so, but also she's talking about paying her dues, being a blues player. Mm-hmm. So this is Waiting for Some Good News.
I'm waiting for some good news. Well, I'm worn out waiting for some good news. Well, I'm waiting for my lucky break for all that money I'm gonna make. I'm just waiting for some good news. Well, I'm waiting for some news. Well, now I live in a poor part of town where desperation and gambling machines lay thick on the ground. You see things you might not see out in the leafy parts of town where they're making policy. I'm waiting for some good news. Please, Lord, send me some good news. I'm checking my mail 3 times a day for some that'll drive my blues away.
Fiona Boys. You know, for me, it's just a shame that I discover these artists and then I look them up and read more about them. And wouldn't you know, they've already played at the Waterfront Blues Festival, 10 years ago or whatever. I'm just behind the times. But just like planting a fruit tree, the second best time is today to learn about something.
Right. Best time was 10 years ago, and best time is today.
Okay, we have Kathy's on the line with a guest for the garden stumper. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going great.
Yeah.
What you got for us?
Rhubarb?
No, that's not really a fruit, Kathy.
That's what I was thinking of that too. I was wondering.
Yeah, but that's a good guess.
That's a good guess, yeah. But
it's not a fruit.
Not a fruit.
Technically.
You
know.
Okay.
So.
Okay,
but good
for your show. It's great.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, who do we else have? I forgot the name. Stevie Ray. Okay, you're on. Stevie Ray.
Oh.
Hi.
Hello. Oh, you have a question?
I do have a question, and it's a potential tie-in with your first caller about that one-half-inch caliper.
One-and-a-half-inch.
My question has to do with grafting. I'm in a renter situation, and they have these fruiting pears that apparently, I learned this by doing, they planted cedars as well, and there's some kind of a mutual virus or some kind
of a rust, I believe,
out of its leaves. Yeah, you know this one, and I can't treat it apparently I'd have to be an arborist or something to get access to the chemicals. So my idea is grafting. But in my research, I looked on the internet for a couple of hours about grafting. And apparently pear rootstock is only for... So I would like you to teach me in these few minutes about what can be grafted to pear trees, because I have these two fruiting pears, and then it diseased my Bartlett pear. And I'm thinking... I'm getting like one pear a year. The space could be, you know, you guys sell all the trees I want. Oh my goodness. So should I graft it? Should I cut it down and plant some? Like, what would you recommend for rootstocks? Can I graft to a pear? And then maybe that would be a solution for the person that called before, that they could get a 1.5-inch diameter fruiting tree and then graft fruit to it, maybe. So teach me. I'll listen off the air, and I love your guys' show, and you guys are rad.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
We just should retire now.
Yeah. That's a long question, really. I mean, to the answer to some of that.
Some of it's pretty easy answer.
Yeah. I mean, grafting is, I mean, it's a pity. I'm not sure, you know, I don't know if One Green World is doing grafting classes. I think they were doing it.
Well, the what do they call that now? It's Fruit Education Center, that used to be the Home Origin Society's demonstration. They are offering classes,
okay,
two or three a month.
Okay, good.
That's what is the name of that?
I don't
it's
know.
It's at Clackamas Community College. Stevie Ray, I think that's what she said her name was, could search this. And I even saw in today's paper, the Oregonian, that they're offering classes for the next Saturdays for the next few weeks or something like that. I can't remember what the topics were, but
it might be called Home Orchard.
I don't think that's in there anymore.
No.
Well, maybe there's an educational center, but
I definitely would check that out, because grafting is not it's not simple, and you need to learn how to do it, and also so you don't cut yourself doing it, you know, getting some practice if you really want to get into it. And then the rootstocks, I'm pretty sure One Green World sells rootstock. We used to do it when I was involved with it, and for pears, there's some Old Home Farmingdale. That's the sort of brand name with numbers after them, and there's several different ones, and they have different vigor, so depending on how big a tree you want, but of course when you're that kind of grafting is with a piece of scion wood that's maybe maximum would be a quarter inch or a little larger.
Pencil size is kind of what we...
Pencil size, or maybe just a little bit larger, grafting onto that rootstock, and then that root, then it takes, of course, a while for the tree to get to be a decent size. Top grafting is a whole other world, which is kind of what you were talking about, taking an older tree and grafting things onto it. And then again, you're looking for small branches that you can actually graft something onto, because... Or you can, there's some fancy ways of doing that,
it could be all moot if this rust, which is the, you know, if pears are the alternate host from the cedars. And I've noticed, you know, little rings of real bright orange fungus on my pear trees, but it doesn't seem to be affecting the vigor or the number of fruit at all on there. So I'm a little concerned why she's only getting one pear or something like that. And if it is coming from cedars, then she probably doesn't want a pear.
Yeah, and then you really can't graft something else onto the pear. I mean,
it has to be pear only for the pear rootstock.
Right. And I mean, one thing to think about, if this, now we're coming into fruiting season again, if the tree doesn't get cut down, check the flowers and you know, how floriferous is it? Because if you have flowers, you should get fruit.
So we'll have her call us back next month, because the pears are going to start blooming between now and then.
Yeah,
Let's just see if she has a white covered tree.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. So
call us back, Stevie Ray.
Right.
Okay. We have another caller, I think.
Yes, that's right. Okay, an answer. Brad. Morning, Brad.
Yes. Good morning.
You got an answer for us?
I'm way behind the times too, so don't feel so bad. And I think the answer may be persimmon.
Persimmon is wonderful fruit, but you can eat it. Just, you know.
So, yes, there are some varieties that, you know, you do need to Let them ripen, but other varieties, nope.
Yeah,
just right off.
But
the tree.
There's the basic idea is you can pick it off the tree and let it sit on the counter and get soft and eat it. But the fruit I'm talking about has to be processed. It has to go through a process, which I could actually give another clue.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe the size of the fruit.
What's that?
Breadfruit.
What is the size of the fruit? It could be a hint.
Okay, the size of the fruit is about the size of your thumb.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Small.
All right.
I think we have another answer.
Anne. Okay,
yes,
Anne.
Hi. Oh, but the fruit I'm thinking of is smaller than the size of the thumb. I was thinking of elderberries.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, that's another good guess.
Another good guess.
And we've got a smart audience.
Yeah, we love it. But you can eat elderberries.
They're pretty tart.
Some are tarter than others, but there are ones that are pretty decent. I mean, but that's pretty small. But now we have a thumb size, and I'll give another clue.
Okay.
We have another answer, though.
Yes, we do.
Okay, try that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I can't even remember the name you just told me. Karen, that's right. Okay, Karen.
Hi. Okay, shot in the dark. How about cranberry?
Mm. Well, you don't need to process cranberry. It's close. That's in that kind of category, I guess. One that you can't really just eat. It's pretty tart.
Yeah.
But the fruit I'm talking about is really inedible. It's not. You could eat cranberries even though they're tart.
And this one might even be so hard.
Which
the what you're thinking of here?
It's a firm fruit.
Firm. Yeah. Do you think you could bite into it?
You could bite into it.
Okay.
But
okay.
It's not juicy.
Ooh, more hints.
And so I'll give another clue.
Okay.
So the processing involves salt. Typically.
That ought to do it. Beef jerky.
I can hear the phones ringing off.
Let's see.
I love the guesses, guy. I mean, everybody listening, it's really wonderful.
We're fast running out of time here, so we will just get to our dirtbag dictionary term, top dressing. We talk about this somewhat infrequently, but we also say when you're planting a tree or any plant, don't put the goodies on the in the hole. Top dress it with compost or other fertilizers if you're going to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just simply applying something, either nutrients of some sort, whether that's compost or fertilizer,
yeah,
just on the top.
Yeah,
oftentimes it's referred to when reinvigorating lawns, but we also use the term in the gardening business.
I like doing that. Top dressing is a good way to
it's easy for the gardener too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I can't remember on our phone calls now. James has an answer. Okay, James, hit us.
How about olive?
Yay! Okay.
That's pretty good. Well, I mean, I had talked about it earlier because, and I was wondering if the people, it is fascinating, olives, and the goal of our work with our nursery is creating olives or finding olives that will grow here that for table use. And the process, but you have to process.
Doing any research into just edible olives off the tree or bush.
Yeah, well, that's enough for another show. I can talk about something else about that. But basically, the olives that are commercially produced in any quantity, typically you have to process them, and it's a salt. And we use a salt brine to do that, and it takes a little while. But, I mean, they're so good, home-processed olives. Oh, gosh, with James, that's great.
All right.
Good,
James, if you'd like a free garden hand tool sharpened at Cully Farm Store, stay on the line, and Elfiel will take your contact information. Okay, Jim, I think we're out of time.
Yep. Well, that was
glad you made it. Yeah.
that
was the clues are good. They just keep narrowing it down. And finally... But I am very impressed with all those answers we came up with. So.
I think we had more callers than that was wonderful. I mean, because it is I love fruit growing, as and it's a huge world of it all over the world. People grow things everywhere that's edible and they value and so
right.
the traveling I get to do is just wonderful.
Okay, well, we'll go out with our last tune honoring Women's History Month, and this is Deborah Coleman. It's called You're With Me. Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much, Althea, for stepping in. Very professional here. We like it. This is Glenn Andreessen. We'll be back in a month. Thanks for listening.
Listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Jazz Lives, right after these news headlines.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM.